the fury spinning down your neck. Team IT reporters babble Trump, Tether Croft, look at that. No plane, fine, then, uh-oh, overflow. Population comment boom, but it'll do. Save yourself, serve yourself. World serves its own needs. Listen to your heartbeat. Dummy with the rapture and the reverend and the right. Right, you patriotic, patriotic, slam, fight, bright, high feeling, pretty sight. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world.
It is. What day is it? Oh, yeah. It's December 20th, 2012, 7:10 in the morning. We are just one day shy of the end of the world, and this is how I'm spending it. With you, the fans. Now, if it were honestly the end of the world, do you really think that I would be sitting here recording a wrestling podcast? A wrestling podcast. Yeah. I do that kind of thing, because this is the wrestling troll, but... if you can't tell, I am fucking sick. I am sick. So this is what I call dedication, even though I didn't even record an episode last week, and I'm past the deadline for this week, but there's a reason for that. Anyway, I am sick. Fucking sick. If I haven't made that apparent yet, but... Where was I going with this? Yeah, there was a point. Somewhere in this, there was a point. Just get that snot back into my nasal passages and down my throat. Oh, yeah. Fuck, I love that shit. Anyway, there was a point. I was going somewhere with this. Took some DayQuil, and hopefully I can get through this show before I die. See how this goes, alright? Anyway... you can contact this show by emailing wrestlingtroll@gmail.com. That's wrestlingtroll@gmail.com. Maybe I should blow my nose. So sorry if this podcast isn't what you wanted, but I'm sick and this is all you're going to get, you little shit. You can also follow me on Twitter at WWETheComic. What else is there? There's... Plenty of other shit to get out of the way. Man, it's way too early for me. I'm sick and I get up at 7 in the morning to record this show. You fucking guys better be happy. There are several ways to listen to this show. You can, of course, listen to this show on iTunes, which I'm sure several of you did, and there is also... my Podomatic link, which you can also get the RSS feed from by going over to wrestlingtroll.podomatic.com, and I want to die. And I'm not even 3 minutes into this show yet. God, fuck. It's coughed up snot. Hold on. I'm going to have to pause this. Not that it matters anyway. And that's dedication. That is... fucking dedication right there. Hear that shit? I'm dying over here. Ugh, man. And I'm still recording a podcast. Please, DayQuil, kick in. Anyway, I'm just gonna go through the news really quick here. Shelton Benjamin might be getting his job back. Vince and Triple H are happy, so obviously... it's the end of the fucking world. And if you hear anything going on in the background, which you shouldn't, because this is a... condenser mic, that's the rain. It's end of the world rain. Oh, man. Fucking, Ric Flair came back to Monday Night Raw, and, oh, fuck, where was I going with this? Ric Flair came back to Monday Night Raw, and he doesn't actually have a contract, okay? It was just an appearance. It really isn't news, but you know, the guy that wrote that pulled something out of his ass and called it news, so... I don't even know why I added this to the discussion for this week's episode, so... don't question me, bitch. I'm the one that hosts this podcast. I don't know why I said bitch. There are no female listeners to this show. If there are, then you're not a real woman. Sorry. But it's the truth. Ugh, man. This is gonna sound like shit. Just like me. Fuck yeah, I'll power through this. Ugh. Anyway, in light of recent news, though, that being that Vince McMahon's desire to stir up business and increase the ever-decreasing ratings by making the product edgy, what material could the writers possibly bring us on this week's following of the leak of said news? Why, it's the ever-controversial Slammies, of course. Forget the 2.8s of last month, a fake award show created by the same company, handing out the shitty plastic awards to their own talent, will surely bring in millions of viewers. What? The mid-season finale of Mike and Molly is on? What? Followed by an equally unfunny and poorly written show to CBS. Actually, it almost sounded like I described Monday Night Raw. Anyway, in a matter of weeks, the heels will be coming out with their plastic trophies, using them as cheap heat because the writers can't seem to figure out how to get talent over anyway. Any other way than that? There's no way. Did you see I want a slammy? Boo me, you stupid motherfuckers. Yeah, I have a shitty $5 trophy. Boo me, because the face equivalent of me did not receive such an insignificant award as I did. Boo. Anyway, I was, prior to watching this show, curious to see what crazy twist the creative team had planned, so the fans don't feel cheated out after paying good money to see people pretend to care about stage props. Holy shit. It's actually what I just did. Have I been wasting my life this whole time? I've devoted possibly years of my time watching this stupid fucking show. And for what? A podcast that I just started to do half a year ago? A podcast I don't even make money off of? What am I doing with my life? Is this what my parents warned me about? Fuck. I think this show is over. Cue the outro music. Anyway. On with the show, on with the show. I need to get through this. I got notes this week. I brought me some fucking notes. I think the Dayquil's kicking in, or I'm just getting into the regular old mood for this podcast. Anyway, the show begins with Cole recapping the TLC pay-per-view, stating that the Cena-Ziggler match was shrouded in controversy. Ooh. An Asian female talent that the creative has no idea what they're doing with. What's that, Turner heel? So fucking controversial! If you want real controversy, then I have some for you. I'm glad those kids were killed in Newtown last Friday. Oh, holy shit, this episode will never make it on iTunes. And Anonymous hacks my RSS feed and... cue the angry emails in 3, 2, 1. Boom. Controversy. Top that, WWE. Fuck. Then Michael Cole explains how to download and use the WWE Active during the Slammies. You hear that, Grandma Harriet? Even you can vote in WWE-related polls and discussions. But really, if you think this is the end of it, it happened all throughout the night. It happened all throughout the night. Everyone was fucking... Everyone that was coming out was telling you how to download this stupid app so you can vote in their stupid fucking slammies that nobody gives a shit about. They're plastic trophies. I don't care about these anymore. But if you look on the internet, the internet fans that are apparently supposed to be smarter than the wrestling fans that go to these shows took these a little too seriously. But maybe I'll get on into that later. Anyway, what if Grandma Tubman has an Android device, though? Not to worry, because Jerry Lawler is here to explain how to download the WWE app off the Google Play Store. Fuck, that actually happened, too. First match of the night is Rey Mysterio with Sin Cara versus Damian Sandow with Cody Rhodes, the mustache, and all. Oh shit, what just happened? Anyway, Jerry makes a lame joke about Cody's mustache, asking if the thing just moved. You know what doesn't move, Jerry? The dead children from Sandy Hook Elementary. Holy shit, this is getting worse by the minute. Maybe I should stop. Never mind. I'll keep this going. If my voice doesn't die on me before the show is over. Don't count on it, though. Don't count on it. Power through this, Ben. You can do it. Man. Okay. JBL makes a rotary dial phone joke, to which Cole replies, "When are you coming into this century?" It is a shame that the 20 students in Connecticut will never get to experience this century. Too soon, bitch. This happened a week ago. There's plenty of time for you to pretend to care about the incident. In all honesty, though, I really don't apologize for these jokes, because they are just that, jokes. I'm not actually serious in any way about the tragedy in Connecticut. And no, I'm not talking about Titan Towers. Ha, dead kids. Oh, God. I don't know. This podcast is really gonna piss people off if I have to keep clearing my throat every 5 seconds. Maybe I should just stop now. No fakesies, guys. This is for reals. I'm sick and it's getting worse. Come on, Dayquil. Help me out of here, man. Anyway, yeah, dead kids. And for the 2 subscribers that have stuck around this long into the show, thank you for understanding. And now back to wrestling, what the show is about, or something. Cole says that the Rhodes Scholars consider themselves to be the best tag team in the entire universe, and I actually beg to differ on that one. Dylan Klebold, and Eric Harris had the best tag team of all time, and they did the right thing and didn't even stick around long enough to get stale. Ugh. Now, how was that? I referenced a school shooting that happened nearly 2 decades ago. How's that for grieving time? I hate to brag, though, but damn am I on a roll with the shooting jokes tonight. Or this morning. Shit. What is it? Oh God, the world's ending! I overslept! I missed Thursday! No. We're not doing this. Because if the world doesn't end, I'm probably gonna die anyway. I am overplaying this, though. I'm not as sick as you might think if you're actually falling for this, but yeah, I'm fucking sick. Rey Mysterio hits the 619, ironically the number of rounds unloaded into the chests of the Sandy Hook students, and picks up the win. The commentary booth argues about how many slammies each one has won over the years, and goddamn, it started this early already. Didn't even wait until next week. Booker T walks out onto the stage and begs everyone to download the WWE app to vote in the Slammies. Damn you, Grandma Nesbitt, I told you to download that fucking app. Did you even listen to what Jerry told you? And just before the winner of "Aw, shooky nooky, quack, quack, tell me I did not just see that, cause I ain't never seen this guy before," award is announced, the boogeyman returns, hits himself in the head with a clock, and walks away. Didn't see this episode at all. Don't worry, because I didn't make any of that shit up for once. Serious. I wish I did, but it actually happened. Then Caitlin and Eve had a match, and before I busted a nut in the middle of watching those two while laughing at school shootings, I hit the fast-forward button. No. No, I don't cream my pants when I see 2 attractive women on TV. I'm not 5 anymore. I'm not 5, ma'am. Don't understand me. I'll do what I want, you bitch. I'm 14 now, motherfucker. No, if I was 14 and had this voice, I'd scare more than just the average child. I'd start scaring parents, too. But anyway, what I was mentioning before I went off into that tangent, that sounds like a great combination, though. half-naked women and school shootings. Feel free to take my billion-dollar idea, 20th Century Fox. The next award is for Comeback of the Year, and I was disappointed that the Boogeyman didn't make the cut. Did you see those worms? Did you see them? The worst part is, though, is that guy used to be my favorite wrestler when I was a kid. I love the Boogeyman for whatever reason. I can't even explain it, okay? So don't ask me. Alright? Anyway, the nominees for Comeback of the Year included Bork Laser, a man who has wrestled a total of, two matches and quit after each one. Chris Jericho, a man who stirred up buzz until he actually returned, and then didn't win a single match this year. And then DX, a group that returned for one night, cut Het Pac open, forcing 20 wrestlers to retire. And Jerry Lawler, a man who had a heart attack while watching Raw. Something I could only wish would happen to me. What a great list of men who brought back life to their stunted careers by doing absolutely nothing noteworthy in the last 12 months. Jerry runs up the stage to receive the award, but collapses and has another heart attack before he can accept the award. Does that mean Brock Lesnar wins? Ugh, man. Hold on. Pausing the recording again.
Breaking the audio!
I was going to say before I was interrupted by this fucking cold is that this slammy award show, all it's really done for me is inspire me to create my own award show. Only this would be comprised of the very worst moments of WWE in the past 365 days. Email me if you're interested or have any ideas to add, such as awards, moments, etc. It would be a tough list to make, considering how many terrible moments there have been this year. But it sounds like I could really have some fun with it. Maybe I should just save myself some time and have a best of WWE in 2012 instead. January 1st does fall on a Tuesday, though, and that's the it's the day I usually upload these shows, you know, unless I'm busy scratching my ass, taking a shit, or watching porn. All of these things are more productive than watching Monday Night Raw. Anyway, the next match on the card is Hentai and Kofi Kingston. Lord Tensai jobs to Kofi in 20 seconds. Where's his comeback year? Where's his comeback of the year award? Fuck, botched my own joke. It's great. Anyway, what my joke was here was, no, I'm not going to explain it. I'm dying. I have stuff I have to do today, and I'm not going to make it. They're eating her, and then they're going to eat me. Oh my god. Where was I going with this? Yeah, that's right. This show. Anyway, once again, King and Cole remind us how to download the WWE app. God damn it. If I wanted to vote in your shitty award show, I would have downloaded the fucking app, okay? However, I have noticed that not even once has WWE used this award show to push some shitty angle. Oh shit, here comes Vicky. And the nominees for Kiss of the Year are AJ and Daniel Bryan, AJ and Kane, AJ and CM Punk and AJ and John Cena and AJ and her hand and her pussy and AJ and her everything she comes across. LOL, she's a fucking whore. Just remember, kids, you find yourself in front of the allegations of an affair, just find the woman you have been accused of sleeping with and open-mouth kiss her in front of your wife. That'll prove that you never had an affair with him or her. Or at least that's what WWE thinks. And surprise, AJ wins. What a surprise. When you're nominated, when you are all of the nominations, you win. She then explains why she turned on John Cena by not explaining at all. Excellent writing, WWE. And then AJ hops on the Ziggler train. And finally, for once, something believable. Two young, attractive people kissing each other. instead of the hot Asian fucking the man pushing 40 with the wardrobe of a child and the... She's actually with the in-shape athletic man that I definitely know plenty of women would fuck going... was instead going with the middle-aged Vicky Guerrero. Then Kali wins his match, impregnates Natalya. Whew. I know I missed 1 week of Raw, but why the fuck is Natalya Neidhart, offspring of Jim Neidhart, little backstory for you there, saddled with some shitty Kali angle, as opposed to that fart gimmick she had before? Is Vince getting off by shaming the Hart family with the giant Indian man? Is there something I'm missing here? Then Ric Flair returns to present the Superstar of the Year award. Too bad his return wasn't as climactic as the highly anticipated return of the Boogeyman. Then Ric Flair announces that Cena is the winner of Superstar of the Year. And Cena comes out and gives the award to Ric Flair, a man who spent the last 3 years on their competition show. And Cult of Personality in 3, 2, 1. LOL WWE logic. Anyway, Punk says that Flair didn't deserve the Superstar of the Year award, nor did Cena, which he claimed was Cena's worst year of his life, and I honestly couldn't agree more with this. Cena spent the last year feuding with Kane for no apparent reason, losing to The Rock, fighting Lesnar because LOL legitimacy, to fighting Johnny Ace because LOL legitimacy times people power, to feuding with Big Show because LOL legitimacy times people power divided by ironclad contract equals giant pile of convoluted shit! Then finally entering a feud with Punk, which was quickly cut because... or was quickly cut short so he could feud with Ryback, so Cena then entered a feud with Ziggler because AJ was suddenly fucking him because Vicky said so. What. The. Fuck! Forget the end of the year award show, I just summarized everything wrong with this business with the help of one man on the WWE roster. Then Ric Flair fights Punk because he has alimony to pay and North Carolina to reimburse. Flair says that if he told Vince that if he were to die, he wants to do it right here. Except for the part where he said WCW was the place to be. And then that company folded. He was given a job at WWE, claiming it was always the place to be and that he couldn't wait for WCW to close. Then left WWE after being given the largest retirement segment of all time to go to ROH, claiming it was the place to be, to taking his paycheck and heading to TNA, claiming that WWE sucked and TNA was the place to be, to leaving the company without notice, to finally returning back to WWE, claiming it was always the place to be. You're a strange one, Mr. Flair. Then SHIELD arrives to inject some fear into the immobile 90-year-old man. Flair motions them down, claiming that he and his saggy man tits can take all three of the in-shape men, 1/14th of his age. Gotta love the logic of WWE. Then Ryback comes to his rescue, takes out all three men, and Ryback, Daniel Bryan, and Kane lift Ric Flair up on their shoulders. I really wish I were making this up, but I'm not. As my old saying goes, though, that actually happened. Then another that happened moment airs backstage as Kane, Bryan, and Flair trade yes-no woo chants, followed by a damn from Ron Simmons. Excluding Ric Flair, this was any gimmick WWE show segment from the last 2 years. I think you know what I'm talking about. Okay, I don't need to explain it. If I explain it, then it's not funny, and I kind of ruined it anyway with this 40-second banter on the jokes. This is what I do on here. You're listening to this, okay? Not me. I don't go back and listen to myself, except for I do, and then I masturbate and cry myself to sleep. LOL Moment of the Year Award is up next, presented by Santino and Tensai. Tensai comes out sporting bandages and an ice pack. And for a second there, I felt some pity for Albert. Then I remembered how much he's bored me this year and forgot all about it. Randy Orton is up for a nominee for LOL Moment of the Year, because when I think of funny, Randy Orton comes to mind. Anyway, Rock wins. And isn't there to accept LOL, he's always there via satellite. Layla and Zack Ryder come out to present the social media award. An award full of WWE bragging about the overinflated dick that they are not only on television, but on social media as well. The idea is quickly forgotten, though, as the fans hear Layla speak for the first time in months, noticing she has a British accent and begin to boo her and chant what? Seriously. These fucking fans boo anything that isn't white and born in America. Big Show and Sheamus have a terrible segment together, and then Ziggler cashes in his Money in the Bank. Way to write off an emotional, suspenseful segment. But then Cena cuts his cash in short, beats him down, and Ziggler does not win the title. Is this guy supposed to be a face? Because John Cena's looking more and more like a heel throughout the night. What are you doing, WWE? Do you know how to write faces? Because I don't think you do. He looked like a petty little five-year-old. Oh, you made me lose at that match last night. I'm gonna come down here and stop you from using the blue briefcase on the giant, overgrown, retarded man. Oh, I said retarded, but that's not the most offensive thing I've said tonight. Is it? Is it? Anyway, Vicky yells at Ziggler backstage, asking him what his kiss with AJ was like. Ziggler says it was a lot like the taste of Cena's dick. Ziggler calls Vicky ugly. LOL, her husband is dead. Let's make fun of her. Anyway, Ziggler officially turns face, and the internet collectively floods a large section of Washington with their cum. Later on in the show, Tommy Dreamer returns. EV 2.0. Ha. That guy let that happen to his career. And his testicle. He ruptured a testicle once. And that has to be at least the second time I've mentioned that on this show, and I'm sure no one gets it. Anyway, Ryback wins the Newcomer of the Year award. He quotes Owen Hart's famous line, "Enough is enough, it's time for a change!" That was my attempt at an Owen Hart voice. Sounded nothing like him. Anyway, he's saying that he is the change, solidifying this statement by starting the tired old Feed Me More chant once again for the 4,000th fucking time. Anyway, match of the year goes to the 5-star classic, that is, Zack Ryder versus Kane. But it might have as well been because Cena versus Lesnar didn't win. Instead, the underdog Triple H and the newcomer to the WWE, The Undertaker, won match of the year. Anyway, for a guy that I and the IWC consistently trash, John Cena has put on at least two memorable matches that I enjoyed this year. So take that compliment while you still can, Cena, because I definitely know you're listening to this show. Gah. The Shield takes out Tommy Dreamer backstage because his TNA run wasn't punishment enough. Then AJ comes out to the ring and stands on top of a ladder for 5 minutes in between the commercial break. This is the kind of stuff you're paying to see, fans. AJ continues to tease why she turned on Cena, but once again doesn't explain because creative has no idea. She goes on to say, though, that everyone has been asking her why she did it, including booger-eating degenerates she saw at a gas station and a busboy at a hotel. You know, the average WWE fan. She goes on to say that everyone has been asking her why she did it. What the fuck? I already read that. I'm reading parts in my notes that I've already gone through. Anyway, what's the next one? Oh yeah, the final match. The final match of the night is a mixed tag match between Dolph Ziggler and AJ versus John Cena and Vicky Guerrero. Remind me which these teams are the faces again. Anyway, AJ's not satisfied with her tag partner and brings out the returning sexual chocolate, Ryback. LOL, it's funny because he looks like a mix between Mark Henry and Ryback. Because he's black and wears a singlet. Looks like Ryback, but he's black. So now he's Ryback.
Sexual Chocolate. Solberg. Anyway, Big E Long Dong beats down John Cena in a very threatening manner, only to be ruined by AJ's entrance music. Seriously. WWE, though. Let's debut a huge threatening black man, have him beat the shit out of the face of our company, and then, oh, I know, after he's done with that, he'll stand in the middle of the ring over John Cena, and then we'll have the 95-pound girl skip around him while her music is being played. Massive what-the-fuck ending to a what-the-fuck-worthy Raw. I'm gonna kick your ass, beat you up, throw you around the ring, whatever, and then...
Oh, let's light it up, light it up, light it up, light it up, let's light it up, I chew the stars of four, let's light it up, light it up, light it up, light it up, this music doesn't fit at all, but light it up, light it up, light it up, I'm styling for time, light it up, light it up, light it up, I can't sing with shit, light it up, light it up, light it up.
In all honesty, though, this has actually been one of the best Raws of the year, if I can say that, which really isn't saying much. But it held my attention more than nearly all of the other 51 episodes this year, so I guess that's a decent effort to what is reportedly the beginning of a new era in WWE. Just fucking kidding, this episode was terrible. I had so much material for this show, it's not even funny. Just like this podcast. Not funny. But you still listen to it, don't you guys? Even the coughs in between me pausing. Dying over here. And I got shit I have to do today, too. Why? Anyway. But three people returned that night from previous eras, and a new guy debuted, so that means wrestling is good again. Right, guys? Anyway, despite all the returns that night, the most entertaining moment of all was seeing the look of horror on the children's faces at the sheer sight of the boogeyman. But if they really wanted to see something scary, they should have seen Newtown a week ago. And on that note, I should end my podcast and possibly my life. If this episode could have a title other than what I have planned for it, I would just call it Sorry. I think that I have found my true calling, though, after tonight. That's right, the podcast is officially over. I have to make way for my future. My future. I'm going to start replacing the music and famous dramatic scenes of movies with AJ entrance music, because if WWE taught me anything, it's that pop music is the most intimidating genre. And with that, you can get into contact with the show by emailing wrestlingtroll@gmail.com. That's right, send your hate mail after what you heard on this week's episode, if there's any of you left. Then you can also follow me on at @WWETheComic, and you can listen to the show at wrestlingtroll.podomatic.com, or you can listen to the show on iTunes by searching Wrestling Troll. Did a brief redesign of the logo. You can also donate to me on PayPal by going to wrestlingtroll.podomatic.com and clicking the PayPal button to help me pay for this show. Fund it. It is expensive. It's roughly $100 a year to keep this show on the air. And this is the kind of quality content you will get day in and day... I mean, week in and maybe every week if I feel like uploading it. But if you want to keep getting tasteless jokes about school shootings... then please, any donation would be great. What else is there? I have an Amazon wish list. If you want to buy me anything, one person has bought me something so far, so thank you to that person. I don't know if they want me to mention him or her on the air, but I did get something in the mail about a week or two ago. There's an Amazon wish list in the... description, and it's also on my Twitter account. What else is there? There is one thing I wanted to say, though. Yes, there was a tragedy that happened about a week ago, and innocent people, including mostly children, I believe it was 20 children, were murdered, and 8 teachers or staff members died. But in light of those jokes, I really don't mean that. yeah, that shouldn't have happened. Not the jokes. The jokes were kind of necessary for this show because I made you wait this long, so yeah, something had to happen. Anyway, I'm not apologizing for my jokes. Sorry, they're jokes. I didn't mean them. Would I make them in front of the parents? Fuck no, I wouldn't. I'm not gonna say praying because I don't believe in prayer anyway, but, I honestly did care a little bit about this incident, and yeah, people died, but this is all part of the grieving process. We have to eventually move on, and it looks like the media has already moved on and hasn't even been roughly a week yet. But before I make this show sound any worse than it is by now, because I'm dying. I'm gonna do it. If you don't hear from me by next Friday, I'm dead. I'm dead, guys. I'm fucking dead. I'm probably going to start recapping TNA starting next year. I'm looking to somewhat change the format of the show from here on out, and I might not be reading any news articles anymore because it just looks like I'm trying to increase the length of the show. It's just going to end when it ends. So, remember everything I told you before, and I guess I'm out of here. I'm out for this week. Not going to read any emails, didn't want to check. I have to leave in about 10 minutes. Got some prior engagements to take care of before I pass out and die, right before the end of the world. You are, of course, listening to The Wrestling Troll, one day before the end of the world as we know it. And it will be the end of the world as we know it. It begins again. 12/21, 2012. And goodbye, because a familiar force shall arrive to punish the meek. That fucking happened. Goodbye. For now. Maybe forever. The world could always end. That would be great. That would be a sweet release from this life if we all died. And on that positive note, goodbye. Hey, goodbye. Sound like a 12-year-old again. I've always wanted to sound like a 12-year-old. They were delicious. Delicious little boys. Anyway, it's time for me to end this show. It's gone on maybe too long, and I wish death would come just a little earlier for me. Dayquil still hasn't exactly kicked in. And no one cares anymore. Everyone stopped listening 10 minutes into the show anyway. So, goodbye. Until next week.
And balls made out of snow. Frosty the pervert, all the kids he liked to watch. His dick did grow when he packed snow on his cold and icy crotch. There must have been some magic when he stroked his frozen meat, 'cause Frosty started moaning loud and it began to sleet. Frosty the pervert was as glad as he could get. He threw away his corn cob pipe and lit a cigarette. Up his trail, down to the village, his dick melting in his hand, running here and there all around the square, yelling, "Catch me if you can." They chased him down the streets of town, right night to a vice squad cop who shoved a nightstick up his ass, and Frosty screamed,
"Don't stop, ooh!"
Frosty the pervert was locked up that very day, but he did not cry as he waved goodbye, knowing he'd be back someday. Beating his meat all over the streets, look at Frosty go, sliding his hands all over his glands, his cum is white as snow.